Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 17, and we'll be reading verses 21 through 23. The title of the message this morning is, What Does God Want? I didn't think about it being the new year and giving you guys a challenge. I didn't think of that. But hey, I think this will do it. What does God want from us as His children? I think that'd be a challenge once we see what He wants. I've heard the word commitment here a lot this morning. I'd like to change that word just for a second. You see, because commitment is the best that we can do. Here's my word. Surrender. Surrender is His best. Commitment is my best. Just food for thought. John chapter 17, verse 21, the Bible says, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hath loved them as Thou hast loved me. I want to give you an introduction to this passage of Scripture for us to really get the grip, the grasp of what we want to see from this passage of Scripture this morning. We have to go to the beginning of our life. Do you guys like to look at the Scripture when I read it? I mean, I'm reading out of the King James, and apparently I'm the only King James guy in here. I'm not King James only, but I only read out of the King James. You know, I mean, I don't know. I was raised with it. But we're going to look first at Romans chapter 5 in the way of introduction to the sermon. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. We're getting back to where we come from. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 8, But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now what really happened when through faith we responded to God and His love for us? Well, look down to Romans chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Moreover then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You get that word we're going to be saved from? Wrath. We're not going to be saved from tribulation, friends. We're going to be saved from wrath. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now I have a question for you. I believe I already know the answer from you guys. But do you believe that when Jesus died on the cross, He took away my sins, and He paid for my past, He paid for my present, and He also at the same time paid for my future sins? Past, present, and future. Has the blood of Jesus taken away, covered, taken away our sins? It might be a mixed emotion in here this morning. I don't know. Friends, I believe, and I have recently come to believe, that Jesus paid for all my sins. all of them. When He shed His blood on the cross, wasn't I there in Him? Did He pay my price? Yes, He did. He paid my debt that I could not pay. In the way of introduction to this message, please turn your Bibles, if you'd like to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. And we'll see what happened to us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by the death, by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now, verse 19, he says that sin will no longer be added to our account. Isn't that what he said? Listen to it again. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." God will no longer add sin to my account. Do I sin? Yeah. You know what I do with it? I confess it. I forsake it. Because I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit of my life. I want Him to live and reign in me. Don't you?
Amen.
You know, it's wonderful to realize that when Jesus died on the cross, He died for all my sins. He died for all of them. He paid that price that I could not pay. If there's one sin He didn't pay for, I'm guilty. Right? Now look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now I want to ask you a question. I didn't have anyone to teach me much. When I got saved, I was a young age. I got away from the Lord, and it was a bad situation. I was living in a bad situation to start with, but we went to church every Sunday, which was a good thing. But friends, for years of my Christian life, Satan worked on my mind. And he condemned me because of my past. Has that ever happened to any of you guys? And my main problem, I had three main problems. I had doubt. I wore doubt around my neck like a bone. And I had lust. And I had self-pity. Self-pity is the worst sin a believer could get into, believe it or not. Self-pity. It's a bad sin. I had those things. But until I began to believe the Bible for myself, it never did change. But when I began to read the Scripture and believe it for me, my life began to change. Was I a new believer at 9 years old? Almost 10? Yeah. I met Jesus. So I know I had to be different. I was different. But at 19 years old, I did more than commit. I surrendered. My life changed then. You see, there's a difference between commitment. Commitment was my best. Surrender is His best. So, another verse of Scripture. John chapter 8 and verse 32. Jesus said, in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know what I needed more than anything? Even though I didn't realize it, even though I didn't recognize it, when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord, when I cried out to Him, "Lord Jesus, I want to serve You." I did that at almost 10 years old. And I meant it with all my heart. Even though I didn't realize it or recognize it. When I began to know the truth about me and Him, the truth began to set me free. You heard that hymn, "Amazing Grace," is that middle verse, "The chains are gone. I've been set free." Guys, there's nothing like freedom, is there, in Jesus Christ? Nothing like freedom. So the first point this morning is this. Jesus is more than our example. Jesus is more than our example. Look at John chapter 17. Look at our text. John 17 and verse 21. Here's the relationship between the Father and the Son and what He wants for us this year. What God wants for you this year. And if this happens to you, your whole year will be changed. Your whole life from then on out will be changed. In John 17, verse 21, the Bible says that they all may be one. As Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. So what does God want? What is God after in our lives? God's desire is that I become one with Him through Jesus Christ, my Lord. So, this is what the mystery of the gospel is all about. You know, the Bible, Paul said, there's a mystery. It's been hid from generations, from ages to ages. Here it is. The mystery is in Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. I'll read it to you. "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to the saints." And that's us. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, your only hope of glory." Now that's the mystery. Where is Jesus living at today? Well, we know that He's seated at the right hand of the Father, don't we? I mean, that's what the Bible says, isn't it? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But where else is He living? I don't know about you, friends, but He's living in me. Isn't He living in you? He's alive in me. You see, that's the deal. It's not me doing for Him. It's Him doing for me. That's the whole ball of wax. That's it. Do you know, when I come to grips with that fact, that all the pressure went away? It's not me performing anymore. Know what I mean? It's Jesus performing through me. That's the Christian life. The life of the Christian is an exchange life. Your old life for His new life. Putting on the new man. You know what I'm saying? It's an everyday thing, isn't it? Does the Bible teach us that we're to be like Jesus? Our text says in verse 21. Okay. I need to read verse 27 of Colossians. To whom God would make known unto us what is the riches of the glory of the ministry unto the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Does the Bible teach us that we're to be like Jesus? The Bible says in verse 21, the last part of that verse, that they all may be one in us. You see, that's the same thing. And I'm going to probably mess up my outline here. But here's the deal. Jesus always depended on the Father, didn't He? He always listened to what the Father said. And Jesus acted through the Father. The same kind of relationship that Jesus had with the Father is the same kind of relationship that I am to have with Jesus. Same thing. It's simple, but it's profound. I am to act not in myself. I am to act in Jesus Christ. You see that? He is my life. Christ is my life. John chapter 5 and verse 19 says, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, there also doth the Son likewise. Jesus never acted in His own volition. Never. He never did. He always listened to the Father. What the Father said, He did. A simple relationship. Simple walk. Easy walk. Friendly walk. Jesus said that my burden's light, didn't He? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is light. And if we don't do that, our burden will be heavy. Isn't that right? You know why our burden will be heavy? Because we will have to try to perform. That's a heavy burden. I used to say to myself, man, I did it. I made it through this Sunday. Well, what am I going to do next Sunday? That's sad, ain't it? Was I trusting the Lord? No. I was trusting in my ability. Boy, it was really good Sunday. I hope I can beat that next Sunday. If I don't, I might be in trouble. That's sad, ain't it? That's not relationship. I'm telling you more than I need to. It ain't in my outline. John chapter 5 and verse 30. Jesus talking about Himself here. We need to grasp what He's saying about Himself. John chapter 5 and verse 30. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. Now that's Jesus. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. There's where the rub comes, isn't it? If we hear the Spirit say, well, let me say this verse in John. He said, my sheep hear my voice, right? And I know them, right? And they do what?
Follow.
They follow me. That's easy, isn't it? Why not just do it? For this new year, why not just listen? I found out that you might have to be in a spiritual tone. God's always speaking. But we're not always able to hear. Know what I'm saying? But if we get into that realm with Him, start out early in the morning in the Word and get our hearts clear, get our minds clear, and surrender completely all of ourselves to Him. Father, do with me today whatever You want to do. That'd take care of it, wouldn't it? That's a surrender. It's wonderful to be in His hand. You see, Jesus was that way. He was always in connection with the Father, always. He always heard what He said. He always did. He always obeyed. He said, not my will, but Your be done. That's what He always wanted to do, the Father's will. Another verse, John 14 and verse 10. Same thing. Jesus is speaking. John chapter 14 and verse 10. He says, in John 14, 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. So who did the work in Jesus? It was the Father. Who is to do the work in me? Is it me? Is it my best? No. No! Who's to do the work through me? Well, it's not me. It's not me. If it was up to me, I'd mess up. And I'd mess up every single day. But Jesus never messes up. He never does. The person that's to do the work in me is Jesus Christ. So what does that call for? That calls for a relationship. I have to keep my relationship with Him all the time to hear Him and obey Him. So Jesus says, this truth blew my mind when I grasped it. It's in John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. Here's what Jesus asked us to do. This is what the Sunday school was about. Jesus asked us this year to do this. Here's your challenge. Abide in me. You know what that is? That's rest. That's just rest in me. And I in you, as a branch, and that's who we are, cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye. You can't bear fruit except you abide in me. I am the vine. You're just the branch. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. For without me, he said, how much can we do? Nothing. That's a zero with the edges knocked off. We can't do anything without him. You see, the kind of relationship that Jesus had with the Father is the same kind of relationship that we're to have with Jesus. It's simple. It's freedom. It's joy. It's joy. 2nd point. Because we are Christ's possessions, we are one. Look at our text, John chapter 17, verse 22. He says in John 17, 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. You know, the Scripture gives us a very good picture of the glory that Jesus is talking about here. If you'd like to see it, Turn your Bibles. And I'm a Bible man. I'm sorry. You know, y'all are flipping. It's going to take longer, I guess, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And then we'll read verses 9, 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For God who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now verse 10. "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Why do you think Paul said, "I die daily"? Why do you think he said that? He said, "When I preach the gospel, I beat my body under subjection, lest if I speak an error, I'll be a castaway." What was he talking about? He was talking about the old man being put under and the new man living out. Isn't that right? The old man dying and the new man coming. That's what the Bible talks about all the time. Romans chapter 6. It's wonderful to realize that the burden of the gospel belongs to Jesus. And I'm just a messenger. I'm just a branch. I can't bear fruit. I just hold the fruit that Jesus bears through the vine, through the nutrients that comes through Him. Simple, isn't it? It's joyful. Jesus said that. He said it's very, you need my peace. He said in John, he said in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. But I give you my peace, that the world may know that I've been sent. Guys, the world ought to see happy Christians, joyful Christians, Christians that have the Word of God in their lips to share with others, because it's so wonderful. I'd like to read John chapter 15, verse 10 and 11. And this is very important. This is what we need to do every day. We need to be in the Word. John chapter 15, verse 10 and 11. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in His love." Same relationship. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." How's our joy going to be full? By reading the book, by keeping the book in our heart, by reading the Bible every day, every day, every day. You know what God's love does? God's love for me produces in me joy. And God's love for me produces in my life peace. Guys, does the world need peace? They're crying for it. Do they know where it is? No. It's in Jesus. Now we know that. What if it was just us right here? This group of people. Small group. What if it was just us that knew than in Jesus was real peace. Would we try to give it away? Huh? If you had it, don't you want to give it to somebody else? Some sinner that's wicked and vile? Would you want to give them peace of God? They need it. I'd like to read two other verses in John 14. John 14 and verse 26 and 27. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Where are we going to get this peace? It comes from Jesus. It's Jesus. It's His life in us. We need to rest in Him. In John chapter 20, verse 19 through 21, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, after the doors, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. The same kind of relationship that the Father had with the Son. God was in the Son working out His plan for the world, and the plan was completed when Jesus died on the cross. He cried, it is finished. The plan's done. It's complete. Now, I come to you. That's what John 17 is about. And now he's saying, peace I give to you. He wants us to live this out day by day. The third point, the last one, says God's power bringing being produced through you. God's power being produced through you. Jesus said in John 17:23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. What keeps us going as a Christian? What keeps us motivated as a Christian? What gives us joy to get up out of the bed in the morning? It's God's love that He has toward us. And we say to ourselves, what will you do with me today? I'm excited to meet this day. There's no telling what might happen today. Someone may come to Jesus today. What does God want for this new year? God wants us to realize that it's the Lord Jesus inside of us that wants out to live through your life, through your eyes, through your hands, through your feet, to reach other people. You ever heard this joke? When I was a kid, I didn't do this, but I heard. A guy called up the store and said, hey, you got Prince Albert in the can? They said, well, yeah. They said, you better let him out. He's going to smother. Same idea, right? We don't need to leave Jesus locked up down in the bottom. We need to let him out. We don't want him smothered. We need to let Jesus out. Do you guys see that the early church was different than we are today? I've always wondered why the early church was so much more powerful than we. I'd like to read a verse. It's in Acts chapter 17, verse 6. When they found them not, they was looking for Paul and Silas. When they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These men are these that have turned the world upside down, are come hither also." What did the gospel do through the New Testament church when it had its beginning? Were there wickedness in the cities? Were there all kinds of vile, wicked things going on in the nations that the Christians lived in? Yes. Is there wickedness in our city? Well, I'll tell you. Yes. Is there vile things today going on here, even here? Yes. What do they need? They need you. They need me. Do we have the truth? We really do, though. Don't hide it. Divide it. He'll give you the words to say. Don't worry. Don't fret. Listen to His voice. He'll tell you. I'm going to end in this. A guy came up to the door one day, and I just moved to Faithful. And he came up, he was going to sell me a vacuum cleaner. I kind of find out. But first he said, "I'm just going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a gift if you'll just give me your name and stuff. We'll be by later to give you a gift." So, and you could win $250 for groceries. Well, I said, "Well, what's no problem? I'll do it." I didn't know he was a vacuum cleaner salesman. He didn't tell me that. He didn't tell me that he's going to come in my house and do all this vacuum cleaner stuff and try to pressure sell me to buy their vacuum cleaner. So I was standing there with him on the porch. And I said, "Lord, I want to witness this guy. I want to talk to him about you. Lord, what I do?" He said, "Just tell him." That's easy enough. He said, "Just tell him." So I began to tell him. You know what happened to this old boy? He was lost as a goose. You know what he did before he left my porch? He prayed and asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins. And he prayed to ask the Lord to come into his heart. Guys, that guy left different than when he came. Guys, I mean, I said, "Lord, what do I do? I need to open up. This needs to be opened up. What do I do?" He said, "Just tell him." So what do you need to do for this new year? I'm going to try to give you a challenge. This is a new year challenge, right? What do you need to do? Just tell them what you know about Jesus. Some might walk away. Some may not. If one a week gets wind, one. What a deal. What a deal. Friends, we have the truth, don't we? We need to tell others. But how do we need to start in the morning? We need to start by our surrender to Jesus Christ for that day. Our surrender to Him. That He might live out His life that pleases the Father all the time. And we just get to enjoy what He does. Let's pray together. Father, thank You so much for this day. Thank You, Father, for allowing me to bring the gospel. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Lord, thank You for giving us Your life back in this world. Make us usable to today and tomorrow. Father, help us to surrender our lives to You every day. In Jesus' name, amen.